Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo
Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 15, Text 20 through 23. So apparently 23 is the one that's written up on the board. So I'll just chant 21, 20, 21, 22, and then we'll chant 23 together. 20's on the board? Does it start Tadaiva? Te Palam? What, Adhuna? Okay, so that's 21 that's on the board. Okay, so I'll chant them all, and then we'll chant 21 together. Okay. Tadaivate param jnanam dadami griham agata yatvanya binivesham te putranam eva dadami aham aduna putrinam tapo Bhavatai vanu bhuyate evam dalagri harayo vivid haishvarya sampada sadadayas chavish visayas chala raja vibhutaya mahiragyam balam koso brichumataya suraj jana sarve peace sudasene me sokamoha bayat Bayartida Gandharva Nagada Prakya Swapnamaya Manorata. Okay, so now we'll chant 21 together. Adhuna Putrinam Tapo Bhavatai Vanubhuyate Evam Dada Guriharayo Vivid Haishvarya Sampada Aduna putrinam tapo Bhavatai vanubhuyate Evam dara griharayo Vivid haishvarya sampada. Others? Aduna putrinam tapo. Ladies, Mother Jesus. Aduna, at the present moment, putrinam, of persons who have children. Tapa, the tribulation. Bhavata, by you. Eva, indeed. anubhuyate is experienced. Evam, in this way. Dara, good wife. Griha, residence. Raya, riches. Vivita, various. Aishvarya, opulences. Sampada, properties. Did I miss something? Oh, sorry. Prosperities. Shabda Adaya, sound, and so on. Cha, and. Vishaya, the objects of sense gratification. Chala, temporary. Raja, of the kingdom. Vibhutaya, opulences. Mahi, land. Rajam, kingdom. Balam, strength. Kosha, treasury. Britya, servants. Amataya, ministers. Surichana, allies. Sarve, all. Api, indeed. Surasena, O king of Surasena. Ime, these. Soka, of lamentation. Moha, of illusion. Baya, of fear. Arti, and distress. Da, givers. Gandhavanagara Prakaya, headed by the illusory sight of a Gandharva Nagara, a big palace within the forest. Swapna, dreams. Maya, illusions. Manoratha, and concoctions of the mind. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. My dear King, now you are actually experiencing the misery of a person who has sons and daughters. O King, owner of the state of Surasena, one's wife, his house, the opulence of his kingdom, and his various other opulences and objects of sense perception are all the same in that they are temporary. One's kingdom, military power, treasury, servants, ministers, friends, and relatives are all causes of fear, illusion, lamentation, and distress. They are like a Gandharva Nagara, a non-existent palace that one imagines to exist in the forest. Because they are impermanent, they are no better than illusions, dreams, and mental concoctions, purport. This verse describes the entanglement of material existence. In material existence, the living entity possesses many things: the material body, children, wife, and so on. Deha patra kalatra dishu. One may think that these will give him protection, but that is impossible. In spite of all these possessions, the spirit soul has to give up his present situation and accept another. The next situation may be unfavorable, but even if it is favorable, one must give it up and again accept another body. In this way, one's tribulation in material existence continues. A sane man should be perfectly aware that these things will never be able to give him happiness. One must be situated in his spiritual identity and eternally serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead as a devotee. Angira Rishi and Narada Muni gave this instruction to Maharaj Chitraketu. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pastaya Bhutale Shimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tinamane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharine Nivashesha Sanyavari Pastajari Shatarne Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhunachananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasudhi Gaurava Bhakti Vrinda. Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So it says in the Vedanta Sutra, Anandamaya Obhyasat, and that means that the living entity is always hankering for happiness, hankering for pleasure. But more important than that, it also says elsewhere, maybe the Vedanta Sutra, I'm not sure, Eko Bahusham, you know, and which is that Krishna is one, the Supreme Lord is one, and he expands himself into many. And Prabhupada elaborates, without quoting that verse, he kind of elaborates on that point or that text in a in his purport to the Bhagavad Gita verse 337, where he says, "The Supreme Personality of Godhead expanded himself into many for his ever-increasing spiritual bliss. And the living entities are parts and parcels of this spiritual bliss." So, sounds like things should be pretty good. I mean, you have the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself expanding into many for his ever-increasing spiritual bliss. And the living entities, us, you know, the Vibhinamsa expansions, we're parts and parcels of this spiritual bliss. So, would anybody who's been a devotee in the temple for less than a year like to tell us, what's the problem here? What's gone wrong here? We have the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is in control of everything, who is knows everything, and is the best friend of every living entity. He's Suridam Sarvabhutanam, the ultimate well-wisher of every living entity. And he's expanding himself into many for his ever-increasing spiritual bliss. And we, the living entities, are parts and parcels of that spiritual bliss. So we want to be happy, and it sounds like from this that Krishna wants us to be happy. So what's the problem? Yeah, well, you're going to give a correct answer. Anybody who's been in the temple for a while would know the correct answer to that question. But the one I'm going to go with is it's a particular program, you know, that we have to participate in order to experience that ever-increasing spiritual bliss. Just like, to give a, Prabhupada used to use the expression, a crude analogy, just like here in America or in any, you know, nation in the world, well, not any, but a lot, you have a government. The government wants, the people want to be happy, and the government wants the people to be happy. But there's a particular program that the citizens have to participate in order to live happily in, say, the nation of America, for instance, okay? And if they don't participate in that program, then there's, you know, if their desires are incongruous with the, you know, the desires of the government, so to speak, then there's a problem. That creates a problematic situation, and that has to be dealt with. And it's the same sort of thing. There's a particular program for becoming happy, you know, being allowed to participate in this ever-increasing spiritual bliss. And that program is not what's being described here, you know, or what's being criticized here in this text and purport of the Bhagavatam, you know, not like trying to find happiness in one's kingdom, military power, treasury, servants, ministers, friends, and relatives, etc., etc. But the program is Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smananam Padasevanam Archanam Vandanam Dasyam Sakyam Apnivedanam. That's the program for becoming happy, for really being eligible to participate in this ever-increasing spiritual bliss. That is the program eternally. That's, you know, that is the one and only program. That's the program in all the spiritual world, in all the Vaikuntha planets, in Goloka Vrindavan, and it's the program even for devotees who are, you know, aspiring devotees here in the material world who are designed to, once again, revive their Krishna consciousness. So if we're willing to take part in that program, then you know, then we're eligible to once again experience this ever increasing spiritual bliss that's being referred to here in this purport. And of course, there's a certain, you know, quality that Shravanam Kirtanam that which is comes under the general heading of devotional service must have. It must be you know, without offense, favorable, and like that. And if, you know, it has to be of a certain quality. And if it is, then we're progressing towards, you know, once again, experiencing life in that way, as opposed to, you know, the way it's experienced by most conditioned souls here in the material world, which is not very pleasant. So, for us, you know, there's how to actually engage in Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smananam Padasevanam. You know, that's kind of general, but we get specific guidance on how to do that from the spiritual master, who is the external manifestation of Krishna within this material world. So it's not, you know, we don't have to There's no guesswork. There's no need to do, you know, guesswork about, oh, well, how should I engage in Shravanam Kirtanam Bhishanam? No. Exactly how to do it is given to us by the spiritual master. You know, Prabhupada gave us the practical application of how to engage in devotional service, how to apply these principles, eternal spiritual principles in our lives. You know, he gave us deity worship, he gave us book distribution, he gave us Harinam, Prasadam distribution, scientific preaching, etc., etc., etc. He gave us very specific programs, book publication, for how we can engage in Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu. And that's even can be fine-tuned even more by our temple authorities. So basically, if we're, you know, following the directions that we, you know, read and that are coming down to us, basically, in parampara, disciplic succession, you know, from Prabhupada and also from his representatives to various authorities within ISKCON, GBC members, gurus and temple presidents and like that, then we're, you know, we're participating in the, we're on the road to happiness, so to speak. You know, we're rightly situated. And if we're in doubt about, you know, how we're, if we are, how we're doing, if we are properly situated or how we're doing, then just like in the material world, sometimes people, they might, even if they're feeling good, they go to a doctor for a checkup. Or sometimes, you know, I got a postcard in the mail about a week ago. It's just a reminder, it's time for your dental checkup. So in the same way, we can have a devotional checkup, and it's very easy to do. All you do is you just go to whoever's your authority, and you can just say, hey, how am I doing? You know, find out. Hey, how am I doing? And they could tell you. You know, you just, well, actually, yeah, more or less, you're basically okay. And was there anything you'd like to see me be doing more of? Or is there anything that you'd like to see me be doing less of? You know, in this way, find out where you're at, so to speak. And that's, it's a good thing to do, you know, to find out how you're doing. Because, you know, we might be living in an illusion. We might be walking around thinking, I'm doing great, you know, when maybe really there's a lot of, you know, room for improvement, a lot of things we should perhaps kind of clean up a little bit. And it's very difficult to sometimes to work that out for yourself. You know, sometimes it's not. Sometimes if somebody's really sincere, you know, Krishna is, you know, Dadami Buddhi Yogam Tam, Yena Mam Upayantite. Krishna gives the sincere devotee intelligence how he can come to them or come to him. But sometimes we don't see it, and that's why it's good to always, you know, check in with your authorities. Even, once again, in the material world, they do this because it's sometimes difficult to be objective about yourself or, you know, people that are really close to you. Like I know in the medical world, not all the time, but sometimes if like a physician himself has some sort of very serious illness or some close family member does, they don't try to, you know, they don't treat it themselves. They, you know, they go to another doctor because for that very reason that it's difficult, that person's, you know, most too emotionally involved in the situation to be objective. So in the same way, sometimes it's difficult for devotees, you know, for ourselves to evaluate ourselves. So you just get evaluated by who's ever your next, you know, your authority, the person in charge of you. And, you know, then you can get a realistic idea of how you're doing in devotional service. And then, you know, you can make the necessary adjustments if that's what's called for. So somebody might wonder also, well, how sometimes we see that, you know, there's people who are devotees who seem to be very favorably engaged in devotional service. I mean, you know, it seems like that's somebody that couldn't possibly be more sincere than so-and-so, you know, and yet we see that, you know, they seem to also be suffering. And how do we understand that? Well, once again, it's a very simple response. There's a difference between suffering materially and suffering spiritually. You know, I don't think this is going to come as a surprise to anybody to hear this, but you could be suffering materially, but yet really be very happy spiritually. And you could be doing very well spiritually, but there's no guarantee that you're going to be doing very well materially. You know, it's like being engaged in progressing, advancing in devotional service is not a guarantee. It doesn't necessarily mean that your material life is going to improve along with your spiritual life. It may happen like that. It may work out like that. And that's nice. congratulations, you know, more power to you, you know. But it doesn't necessarily have to go like that. And that's our philosophy, and I'll read you just a little, a few sentences from a purport here in the 10th canto, where Prabhupada talks about that particular phenomena. It says, when a devotee is in distress, he sees that the Lord has appeared as distress, just to relieve or purify the devotee from material contamination of the material world. When one is within this material world, one is in various conditions, and therefore a devotee sees a condition of distress as but another feature of the Lord. Tatenu kampam susamikshamana. A devotee therefore regards distress as a great favor of the Lord, because he understands that he is being cleansed of contamination. Teshamaham samudharta mrityu samsada sagarat. The appearance of distress is a negative process. And actually, Prabhupada doesn't translate that, but can somebody translate that phrase for us? Teshamaham samudhartya mrityu samsada sagarat. That's 12.7, Bhagavad Gita 12.7. Let's, real quickly. Huh? Yeah. I become the swift deliverer, Krishna says. So it's part of an arrangement to take that devotee back to home, back to Godhead. So it says, the appearance of distress is a negative process intended to give the devotee relief from this material world. Relief from the material world. Okay? Which is called mrityu samsara, or the constant repetition of birth and death. To save a surrendered soul from repeated birth and death, the Lord purifies him of contamination by offering him a little distress. This cannot be understood by a non-devotee, but a devotee can see this because he is vipaschit, or learned. A non-devotee is therefore perturbed and distressed, but a devotee welcomes distress as another feature of the Lord. Sarvam kalam idam brahma. A devotee can actually see that there is only the Supreme Personality of Godhead and no second entity. And it goes on. But, so sometimes that's what's happening. Like, you know, we have the examples of, say, Jayananda and Bhakti Tirtha Swami and Sridhar Maharaj and, what's his name? Tribhuvanath and so many other. I mean, those just off the top of my head, the list goes on. So many devotees who, you know, at least we could, it seems like they were very favorably engaged in devotional service, and yet they were in very distressful conditions materially. But, you know, it wasn't that they weren't getting Krishna's mercy. They were getting Krishna's mercy. I mean, they were getting Krishna's mercy in spades, so to speak, because they were, you know, Krishna was just accelerating the process to take them back to Godhead. Just one thing kind of popped in my mind is I remember that I heard, you know, that when Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj was in the process of leaving his body, and, you know, he had cancer. So at one point he was with Radhanath Maharaj, and Radhanath Maharaj was reading to him from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. That was, you know, how he chose to kind of spend his little, you know, his last bit of time here. And at one point, you know, and he was in a very uncomfortable condition because the cancer was, you know, in a very advanced stage, and he was very weak, and you know, the doctor said he must have been, you know, really experiencing a lot of discomfort. But at one point he said to Radhanath Maharaj, he said, you know, he was just really relishing the reading, you know, hearing the Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, and he says, wow, I can't remember the exact words, but it was something to the effect of, boy, it doesn't get any better than this. You know, so despite the fact that materially, on the material platform, he was suffering, you know, that was obvious. You know, you just have to take a look at his body and you can understand from even looking at him how much he was suffering. But that was, you know, was his experience was something other than just, you know, that aspect of the material suffering. He felt, well, it doesn't get any better than this. So it, you know, obviously, simultaneously, he was relishing some sort of a, you know, very powerful, transcendental happiness, so, you know, so much so that he was actually able to offset, you know, the intense distress and physical discomfort that he was simultaneously experiencing. So that's, you know, a very significant thing. So, so in general, that's, you know, devotional service is. That's there as well, and so I guess point being that we should be very confident and enthusiastic in our devotional service, and not be bewildered, you know, that about something, you know, going wrong. In other words, even something like that happens. That's not something going wrong. That's something going really right. That's Krishna's like special mercy on a devotee. And we should all, yeah, at this point, we should be confident that, but we are going to progress. We are going to advance in devotional service. I was just reading recently in the fourth canto, I was reading the pastime about Dhruva Maharaj. And in the beginning, you know, Dhruva Maharaj, he's classified as a devotee who, you know, he was approaching Krishna for the fulfillment of some material desire. Basically, he wanted revenge, in essence, is what was going on there. So, and when Narada Muni, he went out to the forest, everybody knows the story, and he was performing all these difficult penances and austerities in hopes of meeting the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and Krishna became aware of that, and he sent Narada Muni. And initially, Narada Muni tried to discourage him. You know, he said, "You're just a young boy. You shouldn't be so disturbed by the, you know, the words of your stepmother. Not necessary. Anyway, if you want to see God, there's plenty of time for that in your life. In the meantime, go back home. And later, when you're older, you can come back out here and, or whatever, and, you know, engage in the process and try to." And so he tried to discourage him initially like that. But Dhruva Maharaj said, and then he also gave him some instructions about how, Brahminical type instructions. But Dhruva Maharaj said, "Thank you very much. I know these are good instructions, but, you know, it's not what I'm kind of, they don't stand in my heart. So if you can give me some instruction that's going to help me achieve my objective, you know, please do that. Otherwise, don't leave me alone. Don't bother me." So when Narada Muni could see he was determined, eventually he gave him, you know, some instruction by which he could fulfill his desire. But in one of those purports, Prabhupada says, he goes, "This brings up the question whether one afflicted by material desires is qualified to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead." And then Prabhupada answers the question in the next sentence. He says, "Yeah, everyone's qualified to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead." He says, "Even if one is full of material desires, one should, you know, engage in the process to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead by engaging in devotional service." And he goes, "The Supreme Lord Krishna is so merciful that he fulfills the desires of everyone." You know, like that. So, of course, it's everyone in the sense everyone who's approaching him. So why I thought that was significant was that Prabhupada's making the point, at least in that purport, that even if somebody's approaching Krishna for the fulfillment of material desires, Krishna's going to reciprocate with that person. That's what Prabhupada's saying. Actually, I think I got it right here. I'll just read it to you. In case you don't believe me, I'll just give you the exact words there. Yeah, the question raised here is whether or not a person afflicted by material desires is fit to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The answer is that everyone is fit to worship him. Even if one has many material desires to fulfill, he should take to Krishna consciousness and worship the Supreme Lord Krishna, who is so merciful that he fulfills everyone's desires. So I'm not trying to, you know, recommend here that we have material desires and approach Krishna to fulfill the material desires. But so the reason I thought that was significant was because Krishna's even reciprocating with devotees in that category. What to speak of devotees who are, you know, approaching him for pure devotional service. If Krishna's so kind and so merciful that he's even going to reciprocate with the Sakama devotees, I mean, logically, of course, he's going to reciprocate at least as much, if not more, with devotees who are aspiring to be Akama devotees, devotees who are, you know, wanting to be engaged in pure devotional service, approaching free from material desires. So, yeah, so that's, you know, that's something to always bear in mind. And remembering that, we should be very enthusiastic and really go for it, you know. Really go for the mercy. Really, you know, give it your best shot. Really try as best, you know, with as much energy and intelligence and everything as we possibly can muster up to, you know, come to the platform of pure devotional service. And if things... and we also have to be, so that's, you know, Rupa Goswami says, Utsahan Nishchayat Daya. So the first thing is enthusiasm. So, you know, understanding this, we should be very enthusiastic. But then he goes on to say, Utsahan Nishchayat Daya. You have to be patient because, you know, we can't expect that the very next day, you know, after being enthusiastic for one day, the next day we're going to be pure devotees. it kind of doesn't work like that. And to that end, I found a very nice purport, just a couple pages up in the same chapter, where Prabhupada talks about that, about how a devotee has to be, and how it is, why it is that it takes, that we have to undergo these devotional, disciplines, and we have to be patient, and this will give us throw some further light on that subject. Prabhupada says here, actually I'm looking at the wrong thing. Here we go. Says Narada Muni is referred to here as Bhagavan because he can bless any person, just as the Supreme Personality of Godhead can. He was very pleased with Dhruva Maharaj and could have at once personally given whatever he wanted, but that is not the duty of the spiritual master. See, that's the point right there. That's not the duty of the spiritual master, to hand things over to the disciple, the aspiring devotees, on a silver platter. It says his duty is to engage the disciple in proper devotional service as prescribed in the Shastras. Krishna was similarly present before Arjuna, and even though he could have given him all facilities for victory over the opposing party without a fight, he did not do so. Instead, he asked Arjuna to fight. In the same way, Narada Muni asked Dhruva Maharaj to undergo devotional discipline in order to achieve the desired result. So we have to be prepared to do that, and we have to understand that's what's going on. So, we have to be patient, enthusiastic, determined, and patient, because it's the duty of the spiritual master to engage his disciple in proper devotional service as prescribed in the Shastras. And, whether that's going to be something that's going to, we have to do for 1 year, one lifetime, or whatever, we have to, whatever it is, we just have to be prepared to do that with confident that, okay, it's just, it's going to, the result will be there, but I just have to undergo this devotional discipline like that. And we can think like that on a personal level, and even in terms of like the movement, this is a good point to keep in mind. Sometimes somebody might be thinking, why is it taking so long? I know there's a prediction that Lord Chaitanya's names will be heard in every town and village, this movement's supposed to spread all over. Why is it taking so long? Because elsewhere in the Bhagavatam, Prabhupada says how the pure devotee is always thinking about how to deliver the conditioned souls. And Krishna, being influenced by the merciful desire of his pure devotee, he enlightens the general populace from within by his causeless mercy. So that's stated there. And somebody might say, well, yeah, but it doesn't seem to be happening, at least now, or at least not to the degree that we would like to see it happen. Well, part of the explanation for that could be just what I just read, that purport, that, it's there, it's coming, but we just have to be prepared here to engage in the prescribed proper devotional service as prescribed in the Shastras, and continue being enthusiastic, determined, and patient, and we don't know what Krishna has in store. Just like Arjuna, he had to do it. He had to fight. He didn't know what the outcome was going to be. He had to do what Krishna wanted him to do, and then at some point later in time, things worked out the way he ideally would like them to work out. Actually, there's one little anecdote where Prabhupada was, this is way back in the early days, Prabhupada was sitting on a bench or something like that, and he was talking to some man, and he was describing how his movement, and how there was temples and books but this is before anything was going on. This is right at the very beginning, before Prabhupada, I think, even moved to Second Avenue and First Street. And the man said, but, I don't see any of this. He says, Prabhupada said, yeah, it's there. There's just some time separating. So Prabhupada, he had that confidence that I'm executing the instruction of my spiritual master, and, it's going to happen. It's going to manifest in due course of time. And, of course, sure enough, it did. So, thinking in the same way, we should continue with great enthusiasm, patience, determination, and confident that not only of our own progress and ultimate eventual success in spiritual life, but that of the movement as well. Both things, will be there. So anyways, I'll stop there. Anybody have any questions or comments about any of these points? Such a nerve. There is no spiritual suffering. There's material suffering.
there's not lament or there's not hankers, so there's no suffering, in other words. And how do we reconcile? And on the other side, one time, one devotee asked Prabhupada, he said, he was familiar with the Mahabharata, he's an Indian man, he says, Guruji, Swamiji, he said, Arjuna, he was crying and lamenting when Abhimanyu was killed. Why is that? And then at that point, Prabhupada said, well, he's a father. He's naturally a father. He has feelings. So he answered in that way in that particular time.
Yeah, it's a good answer.
So,
Want me to elaborate upon that, or what's your question?
Yeah, so I want to see, to reconcile, because in one time, you also in the Nectar of Devotion, says that one of the characteristics of devotional service is that you're happy all the time. And also Prabhupada sometimes says that devotee means happy. If you're not happy, that means there's some problem. There's something wrong. So how to view, like especially when people comes and ask questions, well, what's the difference between you and such other persons? You also look like you're suffering and struggling. Can you elaborate more in that?
Okay, well, one point is, I remember there's this, once again, an anecdote where I think it was Jadarani, or I don't remember, she approached Prabhupada and she said, Prabhupada, you look, I can't remember exactly how it goes, but the gist of it was that, huh? Yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah, Prabhupada said that was one of my happiest moments. What was the occasion? He actually mentioned what the situation was. I can't remember. Prabhupada, you know, so, you know, for an uneducated observer, they can't really tell what a devotee's experiencing internally. That's one point. Another thing is about, you know, Prabhupada said he was his father. It's natural. Yeah, you know, Arjuna didn't abandon his duty. Okay. His son was killed, but then he didn't just kind of, sink down into a lump of, lamentation and just say, okay, we'll forget about the rest of this battle. I've had it, I'm throwing in. No, he was lamenting and he felt unhappy and everything and sad about that. But then he continued to do what he had to do, which is fight the rest of the battle of Kurukshetra. And Prabhupada in one lecture talks about that, not that similar, that exact instance, but he says, Arjuna's at one point is asking Krishna, Krishna, I'm in this battle, I'm going to be fighting with friends and relatives and teachers, if I have to fight against them and injure them and perhaps kill them, don't you think that's going to make me unhappy? And Krishna goes, yeah. And so Arjuna then goes, this is Prabhupada speaking, he's doing both sides of the conversation. And Arjuna goes, so also? And Krishna says, tam statiksha. You have to tolerate. So, that's what I...
On the spiritual platform, there is no unhappiness, but all the emotions are there. So again, to the inexperienced observer, the devotee is going through anger even, and seems to be unhappy. Like if you read the 10th canto, the gopis are lamenting like anything after Krishna. But that's happiness. That lamentation is not like lamentation on the material platform. And we have the example of so many great souls you've mentioned, Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, where externally they're suffering. They have leprosy or this or that, but internally they're enjoying the Radha and Krishna. So, and that is the birthright of every soul. So that's what we're trying to get back to. So to experience that spiritual happiness in spite of whatever is going on materially, whether it's war, famine, illusion, like Prabhupada said about the bombs during World War II. The bombs are coming, but, we're taking prasadam. If Krishna wants to take us in this way, that's up to him. We're going to sit down and take our prasadam. That's how he was feeling. He wasn't worried about the bombs coming or economy or whatever.
Yeah, thank you. So anyway, it's 8:18. So we'll stop there. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.